In English, one time, may all sentient beings have happiness
and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings abide from the happiness that is flowing from suffering.
May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Let's turn to page 37. You see four immeasurables chanting version, so we'll chant that one time. And then if you have the white prayer book, it's the Tibetan words by the music notes. Sen chen tam che. Two mantras below that. Chenrezig's mantra Chenrezig is the Buddha of great compassion. And then Green Tara, the deity of enlightened activity. So we'll do 8 of Chenrezig and 7 of Green Tara.
Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Well, good morning, everyone. Usually I have a bunch of children here, but I don't have a bunch of children here today. But any of them that would like to are welcome to come up and join me. I'm telling a story whether there's a lot of kids here or not, kind of part of the deal. So this is a story from China. And there was a Chinese monk who, a long time ago, the monastery was in the forest, and he found a tree he just loved, and he would climb up into it, and that's where he would meditate daily. And for those of you who remember climbing trees as a child, you know, there are certain trees that are really good climbing trees. You know, they have a good crotch that you can sit in and, you know, be comfortable and stuff. And so he was in that tree, you know, rain or wind or snow or whatever was happening on a daily basis. And the village people got used to him. You know, they would walk by when they were going to their fields or gathering wood or hunting, and slowly they began to stop and talk to him. And they'd bring their concerns to him. And he became known for his thoughtful and kind words. And this went on for years, taking his place in the tree, so much so that the birds became very comfortable with him. And when his robes got a little ratty, they would, they'd see a loose string and they would pull it. So in the area, you would begin to see birds' nests with a lot of maroon or bright yellow woven through them. You know, he was willing to share. And as it came, so people from all over the province would come and speak with him. And so much so that the governor of the province said, I have matters of great importance. I should go see him. So he traveled several days, and he got, you know, found the tree in the forest where a bird's nest, which was now his name, was sitting. And it was a spring day, and the leaves were rustling gently, and it was a light breeze. And he said, I have come a long way, and I have matters of importance to discuss with you. The leaves kept waving, and there wasn't much silence. There wasn't any response from Bird's Nest. So the governor of the province said, I have a question for you. What is the most important thing that the Buddha taught? Still there was silence. And he repeated his question, what is the most important thing that the Buddha taught? And so, after another minute or two, the monk spoke, and he said, the most important thing that all the Buddhists taught was, do no bad things, do all good things. Well, the governor heard this, and he was somewhat irritated, actually quite annoyed. And he thought, this is pretty simple. I walked all this way, did all this to hear something that, he says to the monk, I knew that when I was 3 years old. It was quiet for a minute, and then, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, have you ever had anybody you're speaking to, particularly a parent, and they have this kind of funny look on their face and this eyebrow goes up? You know, my mother had an eyebrow that could hit the hairline. And the monk has this kind of just smile, and he says, yes, that is true, that a three-year-old knows that. But the 80-year-old still finds it hard to do. So do all good. Do no bad things, do all good things. So that's the story for today. And I'm going to do, well, I don't know if it's going to be a little bit different, but I'm going to try this and see how it goes. We're going to do a meditation, somewhat guided, but not too guided. So I'd like you to, you know, get as comfortable as you can, you know, and whatever works for you. Be warm. Don't worry about what position you're in. Just be comfortable. I know that there's the 7-point posture. I still haven't mastered it, so just be comfortable. Take a couple of deep breaths. You know, allow the breath to fill fill you all the way down to your tummy. You know, let your tummy expand with the breath. Let them be slow, deep, comfortable breaths. One of the terms for the concentrated mind is a home for the breath. A place where you feel safe, where you feel solidly protected, not only from things outside, but also from issues that come bubbling up inside as well. So take a few minutes, a couple of minutes, to just breathe. To stay with your breath. Breath is the point where body and mind meet. As long as you are alive, you will have the breath. If you can learn to be at home right here, you are going to have a safe home wherever you go. So, focusing on your breath creates a safe home for your mind, a center from which you can respond with skill, confidence, and kindness. When you're ready, come on back. Or if you're already here, welcome. So, let's take a few minutes to introduce ourselves. share your experience of this time just with the breath? What floated through? What stayed? We'll just take a few minutes to do that. Whoops. That's true. That's true. So maybe it wasn't fun for some people. Sorry. So now, look at that. Already lost something. Wonders never cease. Let's see if it's findable. No, it's not. Yeah. Okay, so. Okay. So if you weren't sure of the topic, it's home. 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 H-O-M-E. Home. Not om. Home. As Geshe-la's great, everybody's probably heard the story from Geshe-la tells about a woman, a mother driving, and, you know, her child is, I don't know, 2, 3, and is in, you know, the car seat in the back, and she's hearing, Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. And she's thinking, oh, this is so wonderful. He's learning the Dharma. It's so wonderful. And she says something to him, and finally it becomes clear. He says, Mommy, take me home. But I think that resonates on lots of levels for me, because that chant is something that can help me feel at home. I think each of us has, you know, maybe some word or some sense that can have a sense of home. So I like the source of words, and so I tried to look this up, and I did look it up. You know, as Venerable George says, I went to the omniscient Google. And, you know, the word home comes from, Germanic, old English, Frisian, Dutch, and it's a dwelling, a place, a house, a village, the world, which I found very interesting. And it's also a verb, to settle, to dwell. And then underneath it, it says, there is no one word that describes home. Home is a full range of feelings and concepts. And I thought, well, that nailed it. So what I'd like to do, and Gary's going to help me, is I would like people to, I'd like us to generate a list of, you know, Gary's going to do it. We're not going to do the mic because it's only going to be, it's descriptors of home. And, someone is calling from home. Don't forget the milk. They need to be short, like one word, or a couple of words. I'll start out with first two that came to mind for me was cozy, and the next word that came to mind for me was abusive. You know, home is not always, you know, for any of us. So the range is wide open. And so if people would just start saying some words that we could get on this board, or sayings like home sweet home or whatever, any of those things. What? Security. Okay. Love. What?
Loving.
And then I heard something else, and I'm sorry, my bionic. Home is where the heart is.
Comfort.
Homeboy. Yeah.
Familiar.
Shelter. What? What? Do we need two people writing?
Scary.
Scary. Mm.
Safe.
Yeah. Safe. What? I thought of the home button on the computer.
Home alone.
Where you make it.
Home is where you make it?
Mom.
Mom?
Secretive.
What?
Secretive.
Secret?
Secretive.
Secretive. Mm-hmm. I'm...
Garden. Vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
I don't know how to spell that, so I'll write
vulnerable. V-U-L. No, V, I'll spell it for you. I was the English major. Let's see. Garden or guarded? Guarded.
How about pretty?
No, that's okay. It could be home. Could be a garden. I feel at home in a garden. So,
it was garden.
Yes.
Garden. Okay, I like that. Then, is there guarded? Is that was that one of them, or am I just making that one up?
Dad.
Bad.
Dad.
Oh, I wish I did.
Got mom.
Could home could be bad too.
My pets.
Pets. Oh, I bought a great bag to send my stepdaughter. It says, I do not have pets. I have friends and coworkers. I bought it for several of my friends that have pets, you know. Love Tractor Supply.
Attitude. Smelly.
Yeah.
Well, it can be good or bad.
Yeah, what well, could be, yeah, could be, yeah, there's
insurance,
home insurance.
Relax.
Mm-hmm.
Foreclosure.
Foreclosure.
Re-centering. Clean, yeah, that's a good one, clean.
Noisy.
Mm-hmm.
Spacious.
Alcoholic.
Books.
What? Fort?
Books.
Okay.
Spacious.
Okay.
Recentering.
Home base.
Yeah.
Home base.
Pristine.
Ah, not mine.
Home run.
Mm-hmm.
Invaded.
Delicious. Was anybody's home delicious in the past few days?
Well,
gingerbread. Well,
if your hands on
the
griddle, maybe.
Well,
treat.
Mysterious.
How about homebody?
Homebody, yep. Home stretch.
Empty.
Homeopathic.
Prison.
Oh, no. Never mind.
I see. Conflicted?
I said mine.
What?
Mine.
Mine?
Mine.
Like it's my house.
My house. My. Mine.
Sanctuary. Chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Clean. How about full house?
Full house. Full home? Full home? We're not talking about house. We're talking about home.
Confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Mortgage.
Home mortgage.
Expensive, yeah.
Rent
and mortgage.
Fireplaces.
Didn't somebody say keep the home fires burning? Isn't that a phrase?
Calories, food.
Calories.
Judgmental. Can we put judgmental down? Does that sound good? Sound right?
Embracing.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Also non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Family.
Acceptance.
Roommates.
Oh, evasive.
What?
Evasive. Or intrusive.
Intrusive.
Freedom to be.
Freedom to be? What? Can somebody?
Where a child grows strong and happy.
Where a child goes strong and happy.
Music.
Yeah. Mm.
Backyard.
Okay. We'll leave the light on for you.
Nightlight.
Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, can't wait to go home. And then I also heard the phrase in my head, I dread going home for the holidays.
Starry.
What?
Starry.
Story?
Starry, like starry night.
Starry night. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pinto beans.
Okay. What? What'd you say?
Pinto beans.
Pinto beans. Okay.
Collard greens.
Collard greens. I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. Pumpkin pie.
Lots of grief.
Grief. Yeah. So. So let's go back. So some of these, a lot of these words are things, but most of the things generate a feeling. You know, when I think of pets, I think of two pets I owned. One I'm sure was a bodhisattva. He put up with me. Actually, when I misbehaved, he would place me in timeout. Because he would ignore me, you know. Whenever I yelled at him, it was like, okay, I'm out of here. So home is, you know, for all of us, it's a feeling, a state of mind, a condition. And so going back to the breath, which I'm, oh, for someone that was so organized an hour ago. The breath is a home for the mind. As you focus on the breath, you want to get the mind so that it feels at home here, and a home that's solidly built and a good place to stay. Otherwise, the mind goes roaming out looking for scraps outside to give it a little pleasure. But as you go roaming around, of course, you're not protected. There's no roof over your head. There's no floor under your feet. You're exposed to all the weather. So, come back inside to the breath. And so, you know, the breath is very, you know, it's the thing that Geshe-la has talked about, you know, giving us some time to settle and focus on our breath, to come inside. And it's really the place from where we can choose with them some skill what we're going to think about and how we're going to respond. And it's always with us. So that's one perspective. But then, you know, the other perspective, so I'm going to talk about home also from, you know, a Buddhist perspective, because there's many spiritual traditions that use the breath. You know, Buddhism does not have the market cornered on the breath as a way of concentrating or bringing yourself to center. Early people who chose to follow the Buddha, both men and women, went into what they called homelessness. But actually, it wasn't homelessness, it was houselessness. In a sense that they gave up the security of place, of things, of relationships, and of reputation. You know, and what does this do?
For me, and I think for many people, it was the basis for, you know, giving up any sense of external security. To do the internal work of finding and experience comfort with the impermanent, the unpredictable, which becomes the foundation for realizing home from a Buddhist perspective. I was thinking of a couple of things that, you know, my experiences where I felt, in a sense, I had come home. And they all happened in a place, but it wasn't the place that created it. And they come from different stages in my life, and I don't know if any of this will resonate with people. I'm not going to say the following seeking sympathy, but I was born blind and very blessed that the surgery gave me sight. But one of the conditions of it is I have no depth perception. And as a child, that's very interesting. You can't pour milk, I assure you. Or you can, but you never see the lip of the glass. And there's a variety of other things. I was a complete klutz. I still am, but not quite so visibly. And the first place I truly felt at home was when I was in the water. Because, first of all, nobody could see me being a klutz. So my reputation was protected, which I didn't have to begin with, but, you know, I wanted one, a positive one. Water was very, you know, I was just as happy as could be, you know. And it's kind of true to this day. So the second big experience was my first AA meeting when they read the 12 steps, which for anybody that knows that it's a spiritual path. And I remember feeling, oh yeah, this is okay, you know. I wasn't very obedient to the suggestions, but, you know, at least I felt home. And there's other kind of moments. And then the last moment was when I came to the Kadampa Center for the first time. And Rabina Korten was teaching. And a neighbor came with me. She was the one that instigated it. She never came back. I never left. People ask me questions about, you know, taking refuge and, you know, how should I wait to take refuge? Should I take, you know, bodhisattva vows and all of this stuff? Well, Venerable Rabina offered all of that within 3 days. And wanted to jump into the deep end. I had no idea what I was doing, but I took refuge and the bodhisattva vows within 3 days of meeting Buddhism. I didn't have a clue. I didn't. But the Dharma for me is still home, and I really am hoping that what happens here at the center, whether you choose to be Buddhist or not, gives someone a sense of home with the words of comfort, security, acceptance, shelter, all of the positive things that you felt there. And if you feel any of the other things, we're probably doing something wrong. But refuge in the Buddhist place is safe harbor. You know, and I guess harbor could have been one of the words that we put up there. It just dawned on me because when sailors came home, when they could finally come into harbor, you know, there were houses that had the walks on the third floor so that they could watch to see if the ship was coming in that would carry their people home. And so what does safe harbor here mean? It's acknowledging that the only real working basis for home is oneself. And unfortunately, there's no way around it. So one takes refuge, safe harbor, home, and the Dharma as the path. Do no bad things. Don't do bad things, and always do good things. And the Buddhas as examples. You know, and the Sangha. So here at the center, we think of Sangha as people that have begged to wear maroon. But in other traditions, the Sangha is, in this tradition, it's also the Supreme Sangha, the Arhats and the Buddhas. It's the ordained. And it's our spiritual friends on the path, you know. My first dog, Rascal, was a spiritual friend. You know, I saw, you know, if I've ever had a successful intimate relationship, Rascal was it. So, you know, I guess I ask you to think about those people that have helped you and walk with you on your spiritual path. This isn't religious particularly, or I don't find it to be. And we're probably going to end really early today. Sorry. You guys were just much too efficient with all these words. So the world cannot be discovered by a journey of miles, no matter how long, but only by a spiritual journey of 1 inch. Very arduous and humbling and joyful, by which we arrive at the ground at our own feet and learn to be at home. So what I, you know, pick this topic, I was thinking about the holidays, and I was thinking that, you know, Thanksgiving, I think it's still the most traveled holiday of the year. You know, I think it is. And I was thinking of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, the lists that we're making about whether we send cards, who gets a gift, what's the budget for doing it, you know, are you going to bake, are you not going to bake, who would you rather avoid, you know, who are you sad that you can't see, you know. My father died in 1987, and you know, I'm not telling tales out of school, but I came from a house that could be cozy and secure, conflicted, unsafe. I mean, you know, all within 15 minutes, you know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one in the room that's had that experience. But for some reason, the last Christmas that my father was alive, it's like all of the monsters in the room had either gone to sleep, exited, or joined the party. I don't know, but and my parents lived in an apartment at that point, and there's six of us, but only three of us were home, the three younger ones. And my father had these, he'd found these cute little, they had a fireplace, had these little cute little socks that were like this big, you know, red with little trim and stuff, little furry things. And there were six of them across the fireplace. And my youngest brother, who's always had the mot juste, just the right funny word, came in and looked at the, said, "Hi, Dad," everybody. He had arrived, he'd come in from California, and he looks at the little socks and he says, "Dad, perfect for the cash gift." Well, lo and behold, the next morning there was a check for $100 for all of us in the thing. And when Christmas comes, I still get out that little sock. You know, I've moved probably 20 times, you know, but the little sock is still with me. And partly because there were a lot of wounds from that home, but that Christmas was healing. So I share that just as one of the thoughts that comes up. You know, I also share, think about, who should I buy a present for, not buy a present for? What can I afford to buy for them? What would they like? You know, I don't want them to be disappointed. I mean, as a nun, I have the privilege of refusing all social engagements. You know? I don't refuse most of them because I'm Italian and I'm social. But most people here don't have that privilege, you know. So I wanted to talk about, the reason is when I began reading about the breath is home. Matter of fact, one article I read, I loved it. It said home/mobile home. And I was thinking, what could I talk about today that maybe gave people a little something that no matter what was going on, they could carry through the next few weeks to come back to a sense of safety, security, comfort, warmth, acceptance. You know, whatever positive words, you know. And I have to say, that Christmas that I talk about, you know, when all the demons seemed to have left, you know, it was really easy to breathe that week I was there. It was really easy to breathe. And kind of what the gift of some of the talks here from Geshe-la have given me is I can have that breath with me all the time. And so I hope there's some small thing that, you know, people said or people offered here today that helps you. Good morning, Olivia.
Morning.
Now, she's just a shining little star that makes me happy whenever I see her. Sorry, couldn't resist. She was just sitting there so pretty, I had to say hi. Easily distracted. So, I was thinking, you know, so, and I'll share one more kind of, in my mom's later years. My father died almost 20 years before my mother died. And like most mothers and daughters, it's a complicated relationship. But what I do remember is going to visit wherever she was living, and she got up before Buddha and God in the morning. And but the thing that meant is that what I smelled was coffee. You know, and I don't know if there's a, somebody said smelly, you know. You know, I can be in a place, and if I wake up and there's the smell of coffee, it's like, somebody's taking care of me. You know, and it's hard for me to recognize that, you know, the taking care of me is and always has been my responsibility. And the breath is a place I can start. So let's take another few minutes. Get comfortable. I don't care if you lie down. Just try out. And do whatever you need to do, maybe to try and let go a little bit of your surroundings. Sometimes for some people, closing their eyes helps. Sometimes it doesn't. I always like to look around. So again, take a couple of deep, comfortable breaths with long exhales. Fill up and empty. Fill up and empty. Slowly, comfortably. Now imagine beams of light entering at your crown or your heart, whatever feels the most positive and nurturing to you. It can be a gold, a white light. It can be blue. Whatever color comes to mind. White, gold, blue, green, just sparkles. And with each breath, allow that light and the nurturing of that light to fill you. What kind of home does your breath and the light bring you? Which words, thoughts, feelings that we mentioned do you want to breathe in? If light is in your heart, you will find your way home. Love is what carries you, for it is always there, even in the dark, shining out at times like gold stitches in a piece of embroidery. As we go through the busyness and activity and visiting of the next few weeks, allow the holiday lights everywhere to remind you of the safe harbor of your breath that is always with you, and the love of all the holy beings, which is only a breath away. So, when you're ready, come on back. I was thinking, you know, out of the last 3 years, I've been in India at the holidays, which is an interesting experience. But it's meant I haven't been able to do something that's been in my family since my great-grandmother. So this year I will get to make the traditional Italian Christmas bread that is the recipe from my great-grandmother, which means there'll be flour all over the house, I'll look a mess, and I'll be happy as a pig in mud. I have ended 15 minutes. I've used up all my chips, and we've got 15 minutes left before announcements will take place. So I'm offering you a choice. We can say our dedication prayers and end now, or we can take a few minutes to chat with each other like we were doing earlier and share what might come up and what you think might be helpful to you over the next couple of weeks. So it's up to the group. What would you like to do? What?
We also have Sunday tea today.
So. Well, if we're ready, we can stop. I just don't want to, cause them to have take an unnecessary deep breath. What? And we have a guest? Oh, so we can say our prayers and our guest speaker, and we'll just do it in a relaxed way without everybody saying, oh my gosh, I got to get out of here. It's almost noon. How's that? Yeah. Okay. See, I knew we'd come up with a plan. So can we do our
final? Thank you. Okay, so turn to page 246 in the Go Prayer Book. And we'll read the dedication from Master Shantidevas, Bodhi Karivatara. And it's on the back of if you have the white binder, it's on the back of that same sheet. Dedication. 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long space remains, for as long sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
So we have a guest speaker today. There's not a skit today, just a heartfelt message. And I have, yes, she's in the room. So Sandy Carlson, she's on the board, secretary of the board of directors, would like to speak to you from the heart.
So you know how when somebody asks you to do something, you say yes before you really actually think about what that means? This is one of those times. As many of you are aware, we're at the beginning of our annual appeal. And like NPR, PBS, Animal Allies, this is a big thing to this organization. And we've started with the messages. You probably got the mailer. We have the emails going out, and you'll see a lot of announcements. And so a couple of days ago, Jill asked me to do the why I give, and of course I said, sure. And then, you know, we all have kind of our little glib statements as we do things. You know, oh, sure, you know, I get more benefit. It's just as much to me. When people say thank you for doing something, we kind of have our responses to things. And so when I actually started sitting down and thinking about it, you know, why do I give? Why do I give? And then I really, really started trying to think about why. You know, I've been coming to Kadapa Center for, you know, almost 10 years now, I think. And I've been very, very involved. I got involved right away because I think that that's one of the ways that you get to know a community. And so I've done everything from being on the management team. I was the membership coordinator. I was the communications coordinator. I've helped with events. I, as any good wife, I volunteer my husband's time, too. So we've produced videos for Kadapa Center. As Jill said, I'm on the board of directors. I get to lead some of the introductory classes. So I give a lot of my time. Over the years, I've given a lot of money in different ways. When I first started and going to all the classes and the DB classes and, you know, I've tucked money in the donation boxes in the back, and I've given sponsored teachings and teachers and given online. I've done the text giving, and I've done all the different ways of giving. And I started to try to think about, well, why? You know, why do I really give? You know, when people ask, and you just kind of automatically give. And then I tried to start thinking about it when I started thinking about this. And you know, is it the community? You know, this community of people that you know, I hang with, and having like-minded people. And I'm not talking about, you know, Buddhist people, because the people that come here, we have people of all different faiths, all different cultures, all different ages. You know, and these are kind of like-minded people to me, people who talk about love and compassion, how to be more compassionate. Is that why I give? And, yeah, that's one of the reasons I give. You know, specific people. I have a lot of really, really good friends that I've made here, lifelong friends, people that I am safe with, you know, people that take care of me. I've had a few help things lately. These people sent cards. They sent food. You know, they took care of me. These are people that take care of me, people that I would take care of. You know, so we have a lot of very close people that are here, people that are friends of mine, people that I, you know, wish I had more time to spend with. These are, you know, y'all are my community. You're my people. It's one of the reasons I give. What about the teachers? Geshe Galak, Geshe Sangpo, you know. Some of you may not have the opportunity to meet them or spend time with them, and I'm very fortunate that I have. You know, is that one of the reasons why I give, to make sure that they're supported? Absolutely. It's one of the reasons I give. You know, our Sangha, Lamala, Kandola, Chukila, Venerable Tendron, who's down in Florida. You know, I love being around them. I learn from them. You know, it's one of the reasons I give. You know, our lay teachers, Robbie and Don. You know, Hemant now. Shanka, who's no longer here. You know, we've got a lot of amazing lay teachers. What about the visiting teachers? Okay, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Kensa Rinpoche. What about the teachers that come here? Venerable Amy, Venerable Rabina, Venerable Gyatso. I mean, I've met so many amazing teachers and learned so many things from them. And we have more visiting lay teachers, Karuna Caton, Jonathan Landau. You know, we have just amazing people that come here that I have the opportunity to learn from, to spend time with. Is that one of the reasons I give? It is. It's a big one. What about the teachers and the teachings? You know, oh, all the people that give of their time. Donna Cease, our spiritual program coordinator, donates her time. Okay, she donates her time. Chris Baranski, okay, all of the teachings are online that we can access. I access them all the time, whether it's live, okay, or I back up and listen to some of the older teachings. You know, the time that he puts in to do this stuff, you know, are the teachers, our children's program coordinators, Christy Batts, Linda Saul, these people, they volunteer their time, and they give of their time. Is that one of the reasons why I give? You know, they inspire me to give of my time, okay, to give of my money. The teachings and the Dharma, you know, I'm a better person now. I can sit there, I've got this length of time where I can look back, and over the past 10 years, I am a better person now because of Kadapa Center, because of the teachings, the teachers, the people. Okay, this practice works for me. It works for me, and I try to practice it every day. But this works for me. So why do I give? Because I'm still working on this. I've got a long way to go. But I want the center to be here while I'm working on this. I want the center to be here for me. And if it's here for me, it's here for others. And so I take refuge in Kadapa Center and all the pieces and parts in the people, the teachers, the community. That's why I give. So, and I didn't cry because I actually cried while I've been thinking about this the last few days. And so as you think about the annual appeal, and as you guys think about doing this, you know, let go of so many of the things and those little trite things that we do and just sit down and sit with it for a little bit. Why? Why is this important to you? You know, why is this home? And think about it that way. Come at it from that way instead of, you know, here, it's here. And the Dalai Lama gives a beautiful description of what the mind is, and it's not just here, it's your heart, too. So, thank you.
That's a hard act to follow. So, somebody mentioned this morning when we were talking about home, keeping the home fires burning. And so, we've got a lot of people who've been keeping the home fires burning on Sundays, while Geshe Galak has been away, and while Geshe Songpo hasn't been away. So I want to thank Venerable Kondo, Robbie, Jill, Aaron Sloan, who's not here right now, everyone who has... Don, yes, yes. Everybody who's led, everybody who's led on Sunday and helped keep us all here together as a community, and keeping our spiritual lives vibrant and healthy. And I wonder why I might be standing up today to thank everybody who's been leading on Sundays. Anybody have an idea? Geshe-la's coming back next Sunday. Yes, yay! So just a little reminder that it's really nice when our teacher returns. It's a good spiritual practice, and it creates the karmic cause for our teachers always to come back to welcome him back. And we're recommending that you take the time during this coming week to write a little note or a little card. You can say thank you for everything he's done for us. Thank you for coming back, and tell him a little bit about what you've been doing in your practice while he's been away. We'll have an opportunity next Sunday to offer katas. You can also offer, you know, it's a financial offering to him. Bring your own katas. We do provide them if you haven't got one, but offering a kata, it's a symbolic offering. And of course, you don't, at Christmas time, you don't go to your neighbor and say, can I borrow this really nice doll to give to my child? So, you know, you want to give something that's yours. But we do have them if you haven't got them, but we really encourage you to have your own kata to offer the teacher. So with that, we have an extra thing to be thankful for this weekend. Geshe-la's coming home next week. And have a great week, and we'll see you then. And Jill's got, yes.
Next up. Okay, I've got fun stuff. Let's be bad cop first, and I'll end with good cop. So how do you give? There's a large gap this year, and that you guys have heard about it, and you're going to keep hearing about it, because of Light of the Path that could not happen, that is not happening next year. And we haven't increased our expenses, so we want you to know that. But we do want you to know that without Light of the Path, the bookstore sales and the donations leave us with a $37,000 deficit for next year for our budget. So to balance our budget, we try to operate from a balanced budget because it's just the right thing to do. We need extra money this year. So when there's years where there's different, every year is so different. So this 2018, you're going to hear a big push, and that's why we're asking you to reach into your heart. So if you give monthly, can you increase it? If you give one at a time, can you increase it? Any way that you can, it'd be helpful. You can text give. You can ask me anything you want. I put little slips of paper out in the lobby that say different ways to give. You can go online. You can, if you need help with the Realm system, many people do, I'm happy to help you. So you can click donate on the website, and it'll take you through that process. And then who's received their annual appeal in the mail? Was it pretty? So we have extra ones. So I'd like somebody, Gary, could you hand these out to anybody? Raise your hand if you need an annual appeal. So this will explain everything that we do and why, and it'll give you instructions and stuff. And so also, just because we don't always talk about it, this is on our concierge desk out front. This is how to sign up for emails. And sometimes I just forget that you might not know how to do that. You can also click community on the website, and it'll sign you up. So you are going to get this, only gives you this week, and that's what it's called, From Constant Contact, and then you can unsubscribe if it's too much. So you have complete control over this. The other one we have to help you with, and if you go into Realm, when you put your email in, then we send you emails, like Donna sends you things that are coming up, like the meditation class December 9th, yep, on Saturday, and emails from us, the coat drive, or we're closed for snow, or all those kind of things. It's just one system, so we don't have weather and school and family programs. So, okay, going to end with fun stuff. Who knows about the holiday party coming up December 15th? Not enough. Good. Okay, so we have a holiday party coming up December 15th, and it's just going to be fun. Very simple. Heather, raise your hand in the back. Yeah, she's the new hospitality coordinator. Yay! So if you want to have fun, you can. She's the one. Vivian, raise your hand. She's she's the one doing the Sunday tea today. So we're kind of seeing more engagement in the community with these gals. This is about just having fun. We're just going to play, like, not even live music, just Pandora and some social games, nothing too heavy, but maybe you have the opportunity to play social games. Children are invited. They're going to make some gingerbread houses in the nursery, and it's just hanging out. So if you do want to bring something, it's not really a potluck, but it's like you can bring something if you like. We'll have food for you. But if you make something really good, Robbie, bring it. So no pressure. I love that pink dessert that you made, some whatever that was, from France, I think. Is there anything else that we have going on? Oh, yeah, water bowls and washing the Sangha cups. So that's also a way to offer service. And what? And close the blinds. That's pretty easy. Who wants to close the blinds? Nobody? That's the easiest one. Raise your hand. That's the easiest one. Yeah, there you go. Clea. Okay, so enjoy the Sunday tea. Don?
In your will or in planned giving.
Legacy giving.
Like
we need that guy that was sitting there that day that could go, legacy giving. So, yes, you can leave the Kadampa Center in your will. You can do it in your retirement funds that are tax-free. I think that's how, is that the language? Yeah. Dave Strebel's not here today. You can, there's all kinds of ways. And we haven't got the promotional materials yet, but we do want you to know that it's available for you if you'd like to consider us. It would be a great investment in the future of the center because we never know when it's going to happen, right? The future is tomorrow. The future is right now, actually. Okay, so go have some fun. Thank you.